Now it's time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist, Joey B. has researched grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B. Outdoors, Science, and Nature. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Hey, shh, listen, do you hear it? Quick, look out the window. Do you see it? Yes, that's right, outdoor fans. It's spring. Time to throw out the first dandelion. Well, throw out the first pitch in baseball, right? So if they can throw out the first pitch, well, why can't we throw out the first dandelion? Now, for those of you who live in Florida or Southern California, you're probably saying, what is he talking about? You see, I just returned from Vero Beach, Florida. I was there with Barkerstown Brew, the hydration drink for dogs. I was looking at palm trees and flowering begonias, and I'm telling you, it was a paradise-looking place. Well, you see, I returned to the Northeast now, and yes, life is greener, but no, not palm trees and begonias. Remember, green is good, color is great. And this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or in one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. Well, my first flower has bloomed. Oh, sorry. With my low voice, I guess my little... It doesn't work. Hey, if you've never seen this variety or you love early spring flowers, please check out the Lenten Rose. Makes sense, Lenten Rose, because it flowers during the season of Lent. That's where the name comes from. And I've split this crop. That means you cut up when, after it's done flowering, you don't do this when things are flowering. You cut it in half and you move a piece somewhere else. And I've moved this all over my property, large piece of property. And I've got Lenten Rose, the actual flowers popping up all over the place. You know, it's really neat because, hey, we still get snows, even though I'm looking out the studio window right now and it looks greenish out there. Could you imagine that? Well, you will actually see this flower through the snow. Just a beautiful, beautiful thing. Now, we get so many temperature fluctuations. Now, it goes from freezing to 60 degrees in one day. Not bad because I live inside and I wear clothes. Yes, I do. But our early spring plants are saying to Mother Nature, like, make up your mind, because you know what? Came into the studio today, and I guess it was 39 out. So it was a whopping warm 39 above freezing, and it'll reach maybe 60 today. But tomorrow when I wake up, let's think here, it's going to be, I think, about 34 degrees, 32, 34 degrees. So I travel yesterday morning, so we'll just turn this to the coast to visit my parents. It's a 50-mile journey, not far. It's a little warmer there. On a neighbor's property, the small variety of grape hyacinths, one of my favorites, it's in full bloom. On my property, they've only broken through the ground. But soon enough, the hyacinths, the crocuses, and the daffodils. Remember, green is good, color is great. So very shortly, we're going to have color popping everywhere. Next, up also is one of my favorites. You see, like, I have a degree in botany, so just about every plant I speak about, oh, it's one of my favorites. And this one really is one of my favorites, is columbine. They seed very easily. They have these, I guess, varying colors, and they burst with color. And you could plant a few in around your home, and in years, you'll have many spring early flowers all over. Once again, you could just take the seeds, but the seeds get carried by birds. Some of the columbine, I have not moved at all. Nature, and I don't mind this, nature has moved them around. So I get some early spring color as well there. I love all the sounds of spring except for one. Now, the reason why I'm speaking about it is, as I was writing this show, in the distance, I could hear a fleet of landscapers using backpack blowers in unison. So I just turned on the classic country music channel, and I listened to country. And as I get closer, I turn the volume up. You know what? I don't mind you cleaning up around your property or using a backpack blower, but when these guys come with this fleet, and it is deafening loud. Again, some of these fleets, these guys don't even wear headphones, and I don't get that piece of the puzzle. But so we need to, you know, hey, enjoy nature and the sounds of nature, but that's just one, again, personal beef, but let's see if we can change it. Hey, some towns have actually made, and I believe it's from Memorial Day to Labor Day, that companies cannot use these backpack blowers at all. Could you imagine that going back to rakes? Because, hey, I remember being at Rutgers University. And see, I don't ever remember doing a job I've never enjoyed doing. So to me, I also claim this. I've never worked a day in my life. Think about this. I'm in a studio talking. Like, how does this work? So in my mind, I'm at Rutgers. And when we had a clean out, and I worked for a landscape company that did mansions. And we actually had to rake every lawn out spring cleaning. I'm saying some of the lawns I rake, the front lawn was like 2 acres long, and I'm just out there raking. Again, it wasn't work to me. Actually, it was a great workout for me. That's really what it became. Now, very shortly, the first shrub will flower, the forsythia. It's a bright yellow hedge type of plant. Very easy to root the stems and move from different spots around your yard. So I'm just going to tell you right now, the forsythia is this easy. You know, I mean, you can use a rooting hormone like Rutone and put it on the edge, but wait for the flowers to be done. When you've got green on it, so the leaves are on it, you just simply cut it off, strip off the bottom leaves, and just stick it and keep the soil moist, and it will root. So you can easily move those around. Now, here's something for you as well. When the forsythia blooms, this signals a time we organically feed our lawn. And Inspector Dave and I, we use WOW, and that's without weeds. That's the organic one. Because, hey, it is cheaper to keep your lawn organically green than it is by putting all those chemical companies that I won't mention the names out there. Because by the way, I don't get any money from WOW for saying this. So I'm going to let you know that. Think about this. You're going to have kids running on your lawn, your pet running on your lawn. You're going to be out there mowing the lawn. So with all this being said, you want to make sure that it's organic, especially if you have an organic garden. You don't want the chemical on your lawn leaching into your organic garden. And then you also, again, Inspector Dave and I have chatted about this because he's the organic garden guy. Well, I guess, so to speak, so am I too. But you don't want, you want to turn your neighbors onto organics too, because you don't want their chemical leaching into your organic garden. Now, amazing with or without fertilizer, hopefully organic though, your lawn appears to green up daily. Remember, green is a color, so I guess that's great. Now, a plant that nurseries sell as an annual is vinca vine, and it's an iridescent, it's this spectacular blue flower. The plant is really a perennial. I know they sell it as a annual, and this plant proliferates. Wow, that's a big word. It does so well. There are areas that I will allow this blast of color to happen, and then afterwards I thin the crop, because you see, it's like certain plants will just overtake an area. So you need to make a personal decision as to what you want around your property and just thin things out. And this is one I definitely need to thin out. And I'm thinking about one specific area towards the front part of my property. But I will wait till after these blue flowers. For those of you, and many of you follow me on Twitter and Tumblr and Flickr and all these different places. And since we film all the time, and I obviously take photography, shoot photography. If you go to my Twitter account, Joey B Outdoors, J-O-E-Y-B-E Outdoors, I always are putting up photos of different things that are going on and where we're filming, etc. So you'll get to see some vinca vine photos. I typically put those up when they flower. It's a spectacular one. Now, a plant that's an invasive species is called the lesser celandine. Typically, this plant grows near water. You'll find a sea of carpet of yellow flowers by the thousands and tens of thousands. It is camera worthy. Now, I'm going to let you know about it as an environmental scientist. I love the color, but it is out-competing our native plants, and that's important. So we need to keep native plants around where they belong. If you want instant color, let's go back to the nursery for pansies. It's a cooler weather annual / perennial / biennial, and you're going to go, what do you mean by that? Well, they sell them as annuals because, hey, no offense to the nursery. They want you to come back, like with the vinca vine. They want you to pull it out at the end of the year, plant it somewhere, and come back next year and buy it again. Hey, little money deal going on there. But I'm going to let you know that if you let your pansies just grow out through the season, as the heat happens, it gets warmer and warmer and eventually real hot, the flower just shuts off. But the plant keeps growing. Most people just pull them out and replace them with marigolds or something like that. Well, I'm going to let you know that just leave them there. There are pansies that I've had for like 2 years, sometimes 3 years. No, they haven't seeded themselves, and it's a new plant. It's the actual same plant. So just leave them around. And another perennial plant sold as an annual is the Dusty Miller. And they have, it's almost, hence the name Dusty Miller. It's got this cool little, looks like dust on the leaves. And the plant itself is the beauty of this. It does these small little yellow flowers, very pretty, and I do appreciate that when they flower. But the flowers are the minute part of this plant. And if you're looking for like a little row, you know, somewhere, and if you're doing every other plant, say you're doing a marigold and a Dusty Miller and a marigold and Dusty Miller, and if you leave them all in till the end of the season, come back next year. The marigolds are not there. By the way, the marigolds love to seed themselves, and you get volunteer plants popping up next year, and that's great. You may not get them popping up in the exact same place, but the Dusty Miller will be back. Plants living next to your house will bloom quicker because of the heat that emanates. Another big word, because I'm going crazy today. It will emanate from your foundation. I took a break a few minutes ago. See, I've been writing this, so I wrote this yesterday, coming to the studio today to record, and this is not an exaggeration. Wake up early. I walk to my big front picture window, love to look out early in the morning, and I look everywhere. So I'm looking down, and all I see is some wood chips there, and I'm writing the show. The sun is blazing outside, finally, and this is yesterday when I was writing, blazing, you get that short little spurt of sun, and I look down, and my eyes are drawn directly to it, and it's not real warm out, but the sun is real strong, but the heat from my house emanating, and all of a sudden you see these hostas just like bang, and could you hear that noise? The sun is strong, and boing, and they're just like popping out of the ground as we speak. Now, it was wood chips, now it's green. Well, I have so many different varieties of hostas on my property, different sizes, leaves color, or leaf color, I should say. Some love shade, some love sun. Every variety has a different flower and a different timetable when they will flower, and that's really cool. That's what I mean. Hey, there are hosta societies all over the world, and you can join a hosta society, and I'm going to tell you that these are also plants that it's easy to split the crop and move them around your property. And I always say this, and I really mean this, sharing with your neighbors, whether it's the bounty of your garden, helping your neighbor do something, clean gutters, whatever you can possibly do to help each other out. And sharing plants is just a great way with family and friends. My sister Janet, when I first got into this property, when I first moved onto this property, there were only a few hostas overgrown, and I had to reclaim a lot of what was there just to make a backyard lawn and move walls and poison ivy galore and all that. Well, I took a few hostas from my sister Janet, but then the hosta that was here in return, I give her a few. So you start to spread those varieties around. And did I ever tell you about my magic wine bottle? No, I am not drinking while I'm writing this. When I purchased this historic home, live in this beautiful old home, I found a wine bottle, as I was saying, in the thick brush in the back part of my property. See, I told you it was all overgrown there. You knew it was very old because of the thickness of the glass. Well, I left it there where I found it. Didn't move it at all. Just thought it was really cool. Put it down. Well, the next year, magically, it was in another part of my property. Don't know how it got there. So I moved it near our fire pit, you know, which is an area closer to the house. Well, the next year, it was about 10 feet away from inside another bed of hostas. Magically, it was there. I don't know how. Currently, it's about 20 feet from the back door near a rose of Rose of Sharon. Say that to Dr. Sylvester. It's there. Where will it be next year? Magically, I don't know. And I just leave this bottle because it just magically just keeps bouncing around. Probably if it was of today's glass, I'm sure it would have broken by now, but it doesn't. And I don't know who's moving it or how it's moving, but it goes there. And hey, I guess I said green is a color and it happens to be a green wine bottle. So green is a color. So color is great. At this juncture, I daily cut off like every flower on my chili pepper plants. And you're going like, well, why are you cutting flowers, man? You just said you loved all this color. Well, you see, every year I bring my chilies in the centennials. It's a pequin variety, smaller variety. And people don't realize that chilies, and I've done a show on chili peppers if you want to know all about it. Don't leave this show to go listen to that one. And I've actually on Joey B TV, JOEYBE.TV, I've done a couple shows on container growing of plants and how to care for them. But don't go watch those. You need to listen to this first, and then you can go off there tomorrow. Hey, you need your like daily fix of Joey B. Just kidding. Now, well, those chili peppers are still inside, and I don't want my plant putting energy into trying to produce fruit at this point. It just, hey, probably half the winter, all it keeps doing is, and I just keep cutting the flowers up, and I just want it leaf production so we get some photosynthesis or extra photosynthesis going on. And I will just keep waiting. And when it's just warm enough on that front porch, and I have this beautiful porch, rocking chairs, container grown plants that I will eventually get there, and my herbs growing some flowers, well, the chilies will go there, and that's when I will let that color go because, hey, I'm now removing, like, no exaggeration on the chilies, about 15 or 20 flowers a day. Now, I don't feed my chilies all winter, and again, the reason for that is we want that leaf production, and that's important. Hey, I do want hot peppers. Remember that because I just love hot peppers every single day. Now, and these, it's crazy, and I am cutting these flowers off. And these have an iridescent violet flower. So remember, green is good. Color is great. One of the more unique plants is my rabbit-eared cactus. It's, for you botanists out there, it's the old Puntia compressa. Now, if you look at them right now, and I really mean this, you go down there because, again, we're still in the colder part, just starting to break into the warm here in the Northeast. And it looks, you walk down to my section, and I first planted, again, because it's very prolific, I planted a small little patch of it. It reminds me of all my research out in Idaho. This is also, by the way, a native plant. You can find it from coast to coast. It grows in snowy climates, obviously in Idaho, and it grows along the coast in warmer climates. You can find it in Southern Cal. And I'm letting you know right now, you walk past and you look down and you go, that plant's dead. It is flat against the ground. But I'm going to let you know that as soon as we get a couple warm days, it's almost like somebody just like put a tire inflator and it just like pops straight up. And they're going, okay, I'm ready right now. And I'm also going to let you know that the flowers on these, but they're summer flowers and you have to wait for them. They are spectacular. These, and I got to really mean it this time, they are my favorite for real. These flowers are spectacular. My battle plant will be popping up soon. It's my strawberry patch. The green of the plant, and I see little bits of green and a couple of the runners just a little popping now every now and then. And it's got these white pearl flowers. And I have all different varieties from early bear to one that's called June bear. So you get earlier fruit, etc. And the reason why it's the battle plant is when it starts to fruit, my battle is with the chipmunks. Do you know I've had to arm wrestle chipmunks for these fruit every single morning. And it's really tough to arm wrestle them because their paws, I mean, they're really, really small. And at this point, the crux, I'm babbling because I'm so excited because I'm talking plants and I keep saying about my favorite flowers. Well, strawberries and blueberries are my favorite fruit. So when strawberries are around, so I guess I get a little tongue-tied right now. So at this point, the construction crews are appearing to build the bridge. That bridge is to summer. Hey, I like that one. It's pretty cool. Well, we've got magnolias, rhododendrons, and dogwoods. They're adding color, and our feathery friends are also adding color. So, you know, don't forget to encourage some nest building from our birds around here. Because, hey, if you're adding cardinals and robins and the blue jays, and the list goes on and on and on, if you're getting them to nest around you, as insects become prevalent, and that's later on in that bridge building piece, but these birds will be around to eat and feed on those insects as well. One of my favorite guys this year, because since I'm using the word favorite, I'm just going to keep running with it today. And I've had male and female, but a number of male downy woodpeckers coming to my bird feeder right outside my front door. It's about 10 feet off the front door. And he's there. Well, guess what? He's going to be feeding around for a long time. So I've got some extra color because, hey, green is good. Color is great. Have an awesome spring. Until next time, enjoy life's adventures. You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybe.tv. That's JOEYBE.TV. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.